pick the Nintendo Shack and pray. Frederick from Fire Emblem Awakening says, yo.
Greetings, Koopalings, and welcome to this week's episode of the Nintendo Shack Podcast. Happy Sunday, July 9th. How are you doing today, Donnie?
Pretty good. Good spirits. How about yourself?
Good. We were just talking about how we were both up very late last night. I'm excited to hear about what you were tinkering with. I was playing video games. I was being irresponsible. But it's been a good week. I played a lot of games. I am excited to talk about the games that I have played. I started some new stuff. I did not finish Tears of the Kingdom. I had every intention of finishing after our conversation last week. But every time I opened up the game, I just found something new to do and just never made it to the starting the end game stuff.
That's a good stuff.
Yeah. I'm not going to rush it. Like, I want to beat it.
You shouldn't.
I know. I'm like still finding out new things that I didn't know existed.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I'm sure there's still several things I didn't do that maybe one day I'll go back and do. I don't know. I was talking to PSVG about it. I got a weird feeling about that game that I don't really know how to put in words. I should maybe try to write it down one day. Just, it's very good. And I acknowledge that it's much better than Breath of the Wild. It just doesn't feel as like, I don't know, like heartfelt as Breath of the Wild to me. Like, it doesn't feel as special. Like, I'm just not as enamored with it as I was Breath of the Wild. And I'm not exactly sure why. I'm not sure if it's just like sequel fatigue. You know, like we hear that often when games and franchises get sequels. I don't really think that's it. I play a lot of sequels that don't, you know, that really bother me. I just don't know. I think the game has a lot of grind, like a lot of busy work, comparative to like the actual storyline. I'm wondering if maybe that's just a part of it. Like,
I kind of get what you mean.
I was ready to reach the end.
Yeah. At least for me, like, this might be an unpopular opinion, but I am over the shrines. I feel like I come across, like, I need hearts and stamina badly, but I'm so over walking into a shrine and getting all of my stuff taken away and having to do another shrine like that. Or
they
I'm
do
so
that trick
over
of one, maybe one too many times.
I'm so over getting to a sky island and needing to find a crystal and transport a crystal across like three sky islands to get it to the shrine.
So maybe it's just not varied enough. Maybe it's a little bit too much of the same thing over and over again. And it's not even, because I really like the shrines. And I enjoyed grinding it to a point. Trying to think of the best again. I'm literally just pulling this off the top of my head because you talked about Zelda. I haven't, because I'm not a reviewer, I don't really have to form final opinions on anything, so I really haven't put a lot of thought into it. What I would say is that, like, it just seems like there's a lot of that, and maybe the game needed like a little bit more, I don't know, to do outside of just these grind systems.
Maybe.
You know, because it's like they gave you the, like in Breath of the Wild, you had like the shrines, right? And then in Tears of the Kingdom, they gave us like four systems like that. You've got the shrines, you've got the caves, you've got the depths, you've got the battery, you know, it's like, it was a lot. It's like just a lot of just, I'm like, okay, so I'm going to play this game for 80 hours, like incrementally making myself better so I can experience like, I don't know. I have no idea. 5 hours of story. And then
I feel like if you're getting 80 hours out of a 5 hour story game, then like you must enjoy it.
I did, definitely. Don't take my words like I did it. It's my favorite game of this year so far. Don't, like, again, I like it a lot, but I'm trying to be like hypercritical as to why I'm just not feeling like as enthusiastic about it as I was Breath of the Wild. And it may just be time and place, right? Breath of the Wild was like a novel experience. It was the first time I experienced anything like it. And I just don't think they captured lightning in the bottle twice for me.
It didn't have the newness factor in a lot
that
of
might
ways
be it. Breath of the Wild yeah, did. That might be it. Like, I was trying to explain it on PSVG. I don't have like the criteria on how to best to support my conclusion, but I feel like my conclusion is like, I don't want to replay Tears of the Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. I don't like want to replay Breath of the Wild.
But I did replay Breath of the Wild a few times.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just too soon. Maybe in a year past, maybe I want to go back. But like right now, I'm not getting the feeling that I want to like ever want to go back. And I don't think I had that feeling when I completed Breath of the Wild. And I guess that's the difference. That's the weird thing that I'm like kind of latching onto. I'm like, oh, what's that? Why do I feel this way? I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it just is how I feel. But I definitely enjoyed it. And then the ending, if the ending wasn't so great, I might have come with a little bit more critical like theory, but the ending is so good. I'm like, no, it's a great game. It's just an amazing game. And I really enjoyed it a lot, but like, is it my favorite Zelda game of all time? No. Is it top three? Probably not. Like, is it top five? Probably, you know, like it's a great game. I don't know. I'm just not as into it, I guess.
Briscoe in chat brings up a good point that you can replay Link to the Past and Wind Waker dozens of times. I feel like that's so true for me.
Yeah.
Like those games, like I can replay literally dozens of times, and I do. But like when I tried to replay Breath of the Wild, it fell very short. I didn't even bother playing it more after like the first time I picked it up. I don't see myself replaying that or Tears of the Kingdom. And I don't know if maybe it's like because of the open world, like there's just so many different things to do. Like it doesn't feel like I can just kind of turn off my brain and go through the linear path.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I do think by the time I reach the end, I think I found like the building and the fusing and everything to be more of a frustration than a positive. Like by the time I reached the end, I was like, okay, I get it. Confuse things, like let's stop, let's move on. And I guess I just, you know, I'm just kind of craving Zelda. You know, I'm like, mm-hmm. These dungeons aren't dungeons.
Yeah.
You know, like this isn't, you know, I feel like maybe that's it. Like I'm just kind of craving maybe a slightly more traditional Zelda. Like I don't mind the open world and I don't mind the grind. It just feels like it's too much of it. Like it's like, damn, I wish I had thought about this before I just started talking about it. It's
no,
like it
I
doesn't have
wish.
Balance. There's not enough yeah. balance. There's not enough of the other thing to justify having so much of this thing. That makes sense?
It does make sense. I almost wish that like, and they said, I think I read in an interview a few weeks ago how like they're not really interested in going back to the traditional style Zelda games, that it's like just kind of like this and innovation forward. And I almost wish that like Breath of the Wild had been a new IP or franchise of some kind, even if it's like a spin-off world to Zelda or something like that.
Sure.
And that we would just continue getting traditional Zelda games. Just
or
because
you
I
don't
I
need
do
to do
miss...
all that stuff to beat the game. I True. Feel like I had I mean... to do the majority of the things that I did to beat the game. Especially the ending, you know, like I did the shrines that I did to get the hearts that I needed. I did
yeah.
the batteries I did to get the stamina that I needed. And when I got to the final battle, like I could have used more hearts. So, I don't know. I mean, I understand that like it is kind of a choose your own adventure. You have the option to choose what you want to do. But I feel like the majority of the grinding that I did was necessary. I just feel like maybe there's not enough, like, if this game had, like, proper Zelda dungeons, it would
that
have added
would go a long way for me.
It would have added a lot of balance to the grind. Like, you've got to grind these little things out so you can take on these bigger installations. If it had more story, like, in and out of every village and stuff as you were mm-hmm. walking along, it would provide, like, the alternative to these grind systems. Whereas I feel like Tears of the Kingdom is just, like, three or four epic grind sequences With the occasional off like mission, like, oh, you can save Laurelin every now and again, but it's like, you're really just going to keep doing this.
I think something that bothers me is that once you get off of the Sky Islands, and this is true for Breath of the Wild too, once you get off the Sky Islands, there's no cutscenes unless you're getting one of the Dragon Tear memories.
Yeah.
Or yep. The end, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I need, there's like, there needs to be balance. There needs to be something else added to offset the amount of grinding. Because I guess towards the end, it is weird. I feel almost like a hypocrite because 30 hours in, loving the grind, like absolutely loving it. It was great. Like, let's keep doing them. 70 hours in, I'm like, okay, is there anything else here? Is there more? Am I just going to keep doing this? And when I finished, I was like, yeah, you basically are just going to keep doing that. Like that was kind of, you know, my takeaway. It's like, yeah, there's some things to do. You can build a house, you know, you can do the little Tarrytown. There is a story mission out there to be found, but you're primarily,
and it's just cute and wholesome, but it's like 10 minutes long. Those loops.
Yeah. I need more of it. There's not enough. The balance is off. You know, I need balance. Mm-hmm. It's just too much. I think that's the best way that I can maybe describe it. But again, don't let that take away any of your joy. Shaq, listeners maybe don't know this. The way that I do my game of the year list is I literally keep a running list. As I play games throughout the year, I have a list. I'll open it right now. I have it right here on my computer. And as I beat a game, I put it on the list. And that's where it stays. I don't juggle it. I don't move it. Like this is my system and I like holding true to it. At the time that I beat the game, this is how good, this is how much I enjoyed it. Tears of the Kingdom is the top of that list, you know? So like, and the list is long, probably, I don't know. I wouldn't say most longer than most people, but I mean, I know there's people out there like Kyle the Pug that really crushes games. My list is like 30 games leap already. Like it's a long list.
More than I've played this year.
You know? So like, I really enjoy it. I'm not trying to down it at all. I'm not even trying to be critical. I'm just trying to understand why I'm feeling the way I do. You know, I went from like most excited, most anticipated Zelda game of all time to that was really good. You know, I'm really glad that I played it, but I don't know. It just doesn't feel very special. Like in the way, I think most Zelda fans understand what I'm trying to say by that. We all have like special Zelda games that we hold dear to us, you know? Tears of the Kingdom just didn't, nothing latched on to me that way.
I disagree about that.
Okay.
But the rest of what you said, I agree with. I don't know. I think there are a lot of special parts about Tears of the Kingdom. But for me, I think it's very hard to, and I think I said this on the show before, I think it's very hard, if not impossible, to compare Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom to the other traditional 3D Zelda games.
Oh, for sure.
Like Ocarina and Twilight Princess and Wind Waker. And I feel like those are difficult, if not impossible, to compare to the top-down games like A Link to the Past, Minish Cap, The Oracles. Like, they're just so vastly different that in my head, I categorize them as like three different types, like styles of Zelda game. Yeah. And like, I'm not even going to try to like rank Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild with those older games just because they're so different. I feel like I can't do that.
That's fair. There are definitely special moments in Tears of the Kingdom. Like there's a couple of cutscenes that are all time, you know, it's pretty great right there. I don't know. I'm just not championing, enthusiastic, like grabbing on, I don't know, attached to this game. Like I was Breath of the Wild. Like I am Wind Waker. Ocarina.
That's fair.
You know, it's just not there for me.
Yeah, that's fair. I found I spent a long time in the depths last night.
Yeah.
And this is probably not a spoiler at this point, and I'm so sorry if I am spoiling it for somebody. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I found out because I spent a lot of time in the depths before I did any of the regional phenomenon, like the dungeons, right? And so I didn't realize until just last night that once you have defeated a boss in the temples, they can appear in the depths and it's like another version of that boss. And like, that's another way that I can take a photograph of it for the compendium, because I have forgotten to do that. And it gives like a massive reward for beating it. It's also like a little bit of a different take. I think it's like even a little bit harder, because I did the Queen Gibdo one last night. And the rays of light, because it's the depth, there's no rays of light coming down to help you kill the Gibdo that are running at you. And so that kind of makes the boss battle a little bit harder.
Sure.
Because like you have to kill them on your own without the light. So I thought that was kind of fun. And you get a, like I said, you get a very good reward for doing so. So I didn't realize that. That was pretty cool.
Thanks.
So I'm still like discovering new things.
But I'm aware of those. I've seen those. Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun for me, because I was like, whoa, like, what is that thing in the distance? And it was like an overworld boss, but it was one that I had done in a dungeon before. So it was cool.
Yeah.
It was very cool. Besides Tears of the Kingdom, I started two games that I have already, that I've wanted to play for a very long time. I'm getting back into my classic retro kick, and I am playing both of these games on stream, alternating days for them. I'm playing Mother 3, which is the follow-up to Earthbound, which is one of my favorite games of all time. Mother 3, which never got localized in the West, but there are unofficial fan translations, which are, from what I've heard, very good, like that they could be official, like years and years and years of work have went on them. And so I started that game.
In video games, or go like they go so hard.
Yes.
That they're like,
the Mother fandom goes hard. This fandom, Donnie, goes hard. Let me tell you.
I can't imagine like too many other, I don't know, groups out there that would be like, we'll do it ourselves.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
And they nurture this. Like, this fan translation has gotten like updates over time, tweaks over time, like once they find something's like a little bit more accurate. But when I stream this, like, this is so beloved, because like people that have never tuned into my streams before, or like don't even know who I am, like tuned in just to see somebody playing Mother 3 for the first time. And oh my gosh, this game is, it feels like I am getting to experience Earthbound again for the first time. It has like the same vibes, but it's so much sadder. Oh my gosh. I've only played two like play sessions so far. I'm like maybe 5-ish hours into the game, and I have already cried twice.
Wow.
Like, there are like two really like impactful moments. And like during that, people were saying like, oh, this is just the beginning. This is like,
wow.
This is just the start. Like, just you wait. It's going to get even more sad and intense. So I love games like that. I love games that absolutely ruin me to my core. But I need to be like in the right frame of mind for those kind of games. And like, I feel like, this is the time. This is perfect. This is my summer to ruin my life over Mother 3.
Love it.
Yeah. And you're welcome, everybody, because once I finish this game, Nintendo will announce an official translated port, because that's just the kind of thing that would happen to me.
You really think are they ever going to release that? Like, in your heart of hearts? Yeah, I don't think
so. I think if they do, a lot, like, I've already seen like a lot of things that need to be changed for sure. If they do.
That'll work.
There are several racist stereotypes. Some small, like some is just like, one of them's just like one NPC character, and one of them is like a whole race of person in the game. I put race in quotes because, like, I don't know, they're not people, they're like beings. But yeah, there's some questionable dialogue. There's like words in there that I don't feel comfortable saying.
Is that why they haven't, like, that's probably why they've never
probably released
it, right? Yeah.
Probably. Okay. But yeah. But cool. Other, like, besides that, like, it is emotional, heartfelt. The gameplay is so great. Like, this is my kind of game. And I also, the other game that I started on stream is Final Fantasy VI, another Super Nintendo classic that I am very excited to be playing for the first time. I have never played a Final Fantasy game before, Johnny, ever in my life. And I knew that this is the one that I wanted to start with because I love my Super Nintendo vibes. That I'm a Final Fantasy virgin and like this is my first experience. What? This is a good one.
We could just hate it together. I was just hoping that we could just hate it together. Yeah, but I was hoping to get you there. I was hoping to get you there.
I still think there are far too many Final Fantasy games. I don't really get like the new ones with all of like the elements of like mass multiplayer, whatever the heck. I don't know. Whatever those are these days. I don't know. I don't care about that. I care about my Super Nintendo. That's all I care about. I'll probably play 4 at some point because that's also on the Super Nintendo. But yeah, what a beautiful game. Oh my gosh. This is like hitting me all in the feels of like the style from that era and like the characters from that era. And the main character is a woman. I didn't know that. I did not know that the main protagonist in this game is a woman. My mind was blown. Do you know how rare that is in 1995?
I honestly do not know because I didn't play a lot of those games. So no idea. But I'm taking it by your enthusiasm. It's very rare.
The music is so beautiful.
I feel like female characters are pretty common in RPGs now. Isn't that like a thing that they do?
Yeah, female characters, but to have it be the main protagonist playable right off the bat, like usually there's like a female protagonist party member that is like playable, but like not like the main lead protagonist that you start the game as.
The star of the show. Got it.
Yeah.
That's cool. Good.
Hyrule's backing me up in chat.
That game. Again, I don't know anything about it. Aren't the numbers like weird? Like when you say you're playing Final Fantasy 4, is it 4 or is it 2?
I'm playing, listen. I found this out because I wasn't sure either. So I'm playing 6, Final Fantasy 6, but it was Final Fantasy 6 in Japan. But then when it came to North America, and chat can correct me if this is wrong, but this is my understanding. We didn't have 6 Final Fantasy games. This was 3 for us. So on the Super Nintendo, it was really Final Fantasy 3.
Gotcha.
But then, missed them. You know, we caught up with all of the, you know, localizations and whatnot. It now they call it 6 because like it really is 6.
Are you playing the pixel remasters?
Yes, I am.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So it is Final Fantasy 6. They've officially like renamed it now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I gotcha.
Yeah, because that's like what it really is. Yeah.
Cool.
Just to avoid the confusion, I guess. But even though it is confusing, I don't know. Final Fantasy IV apparently was what messed everything up when it got localized. It was really the second Final Fantasy game in the US. And so like that threw everything off. Yeah. Because I guess it would have been confusing to people if like they came out with like Final Fantasy IV, but like there were not 1 through 3. You know what I mean?
You can blame my fervorous hatred for Final Fantasy just on the person that introduced me to the series when I was younger. And he started giving me all of this geekdom and was trying to tell me this number is that number and this and then. And then I watched him play it for like 30 minutes and there's like turn-based and like, ta-da! And he'd sit back and he's like, it's the greatest game ever, right? And I was like, I hate this game and I never want to play this game ever. And I've just really stood like just dogmatic on that stance. I just unwilling to come off even a little bit. That's not true. I kind of dig the new Final Fantasy, like the one that just came out. I want to play that one day if it ever makes it 16? PC. Yeah, or something else. Mm. That looks like my kind of game in so many ways. Like when I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, that looks like Devil May Cry.
You should play like it Bayonetta. And we can have that our first like Final Fantasy experience together.
Maybe. If I still had a PlayStation 5, if I had one, I would have tried to play that game. Like that's how good in my limited viewing. I don't know a whole lot about it. I've seen like a trailer and 3 minutes of a gameplay video, but in the limited bit that I've seen of it, I'm like, if that didn't have Final Fantasy on it, like if that wasn't on the cover, I'd be all on this game. So one day I will play it. But it's locked on the PlayStation. I can't play it at the moment. So one day, if it ever becomes available.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'll get a Slim. There's rumors they're coming out with another damn PlayStation or have more models, apparently. So I don't know. I remain open to PlayStation ownership. We'll see.
But yeah, I'm enjoying both of these. It is a lot of RPG, I feel like. I didn't really think that part out too much. But as of right now, for anybody who is interested on my stream, I'm playing Mother 3 on Mondays and Thursdays. And I'm playing Final Fantasy... Wait, hold on. Did I get that wrong? No, I'm playing Final Fantasy 6 on Mondays and Thursdays. And I'm playing Mother 3 on Tuesdays and Fridays. So if you're interested in watching me play those for the first time... that's where you can find it on my stream at.
So let me ask you this.
Yes.
So when are you playing Oxenfree?
When does that come out?
Like tomorrow.
It does?
I don't know if it's tomorrow, but like I got the email from Nintendo that they punched my pre-order. I was like, oh man, I wasn't ready. I haven't planned for this. I think it comes out.
Man, I feel like
it comes out like Monday.
In my brain, that game has just always been someday in the future.
Yeah.
Because of how many times it's been delayed.
I told Delvin, because I've got too much that I'm doing at the moment, and I'm going to play Pikmin when Pikmin drops, so I don't think I'm going to play Oxenfree.
Well, how long could Oxenfree be? The first game was like, what, 5 hours?
Yeah, so that was another thing I was going to ask you. Do I just put off Pikmin, knowing that I'll play that longer, and play Oxenfree?
Well, Pikmin doesn't come out until the end of the month.
I don't even know when all these dates are. I in my head, they're both coming out like next Friday.
Pikmin comes out the 21st.
Okay, so I've got time then. Well, I guess that makes up my answer. I'll try to play
Oxenfree. That's not this Friday. That's like next Friday.
Oh, okay. So I'll try to play Oxenfree, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, well, if you play it, I'll play it. So that
I wasn't ready. But Delvin is super excited for Oxenfree, and I told him
really?
Maybe he should come to Shaq.
Oh my God, he should come to Shaq next week and we could all talk about how we played it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be so much fun. I love that.
I could take Shaq off.
No.
Damn it.
How are we supposed to bully you if you aren't on the show with us?
Yeah, I'm playing a lot of things right now. I can make time for Oxenfree, but like, I kind of don't want to. Like, it wasn't in the plan, so I'm not prepared. Like, I'm not ready.
Then you decide when you want to play Oxenfree, you tell me, and then I'll play it the same week that you tell me you're playing.
I'll play it. We should play it now because that's when people want to hear about it. I'll play it.
Okay.
I'll play it. I'm just really into Cyberpunk, but I've already beat Cyberpunk. I can wait on Cyberpunk a little bit. I can take a week.
I don't think it's going to be that long of a game. I think it's going to be under 10 hours.
Okay. Cool.
But yeah. I'm excited about Oxenfree Lost Signals. I feel like we've been waiting for that game for years.
Definitely. Definitely have. Yeah, because it was announced in like 2019? 2020?
I don't know.
Definitely like early COVID. And here we are years later. And definitely went like that golf story route. It was just like kept waiting. And
don't say that.
When people are replaying Oxenfree.
Don't I'm not going to replay outcome. Oxenfree.
It's just, I really like Oxenfree's story. But the gameplay is a little slow, so it's not like the thing that I want to replay. Maybe I need to watch like a story recap or something, just get kind of brushed up again. I feel like I'm.
Is it a direct follow? Like it's the same characters?
Yeah. To be honest with you, I don't. I say yes, and I'm like already immediately second guessing myself. I don't think. Maybe not. I don't remember. I haven't. Again, I didn't even know it was coming out until I got the email. So, like, it's been off my radar for a minute.
Oh, it takes place 5 years after the events of the original game, which is interesting because there are different endings in Oxenfree where certain people can die.
Yeah.
And you might think they'll have like some sort of
story recap when you start. They'll kind of assume that you did something.
Or will it take your save file?
What if you don't have your save file anymore, like me?
I don't know.
I've done like 8 system transfers since then.
I don't know if I have my save file on there either.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll find out.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, we'll play that then this week. Anything you want to talk about that you've been up to this week?
Yeah, so I was up late last night, just as late as you were, performing open heart surgery on my ally. Because I wanted to slap in a new SSD. So I put a 2 terabyte in it. And I was trying to follow this YouTuber who was explaining to me how I could clone a drive so I wouldn't have to redo all my emulators and all my setup and everything. And it just didn't work after like 3 hours of trying. And I ended up just starting over from scratch and having to redo everything. So that's why my ally is here, like running. The reason it's running, it's updating. I have to reset everything up all over again.
Oh my gosh.
But I had held off on putting it in because I was playing a game on it called Planet of Lana.
Oh, which
you
I
have to play. You got to play it. You got to play it like as soon as possible. It's incredible. Very high on my favorite games of the year so far. Absolutely loved it. A superb video game from Thunderful. And was it Wishful, whatever they're doing, however they do their names. It is, it feels like a trope for indie games now, but like, you're going to love it. If you've ever played Journey, if you were digging the feels and the emotions from Ori, definitely if you're into that type of Inside or Limbo type of game, if you love doing yourself a person can't swim, jump on this platform and swim across like Last of Us thing, like there's a bunch of stuff here. It's a very short game. You can beat it in one sitting. I think I was through in 4 hours, something like that. And it was just really great. I think you're going to adore it, Rebecca, if you can get through. If you can get to the second half of the game. Like if you get there and you're not done, you're not tired of jumping and platforming and puzzles by the second half of that game when the story really takes off, I think you're going to adore it.
Is it on Switch?
No, not to my knowledge. It is a Game Pass exclusive.
No, it's also on Steam.
Okay, beautiful.
And it's 20% off.
I expect that it will make its way to Switch at some point whenever the time deal with Microsoft wears off.
Maybe I'll wait for that then.
Yeah, I think it may be one of those things where they've did the gunk ever make it to Switch? That was the other one that they did for them.
It says similar to games you've played, Portal.
It's not like Portal at all. It's a terrible. No, it really reminds me, like gameplay wise, there's a lot of like Inside here. Like story-wise, vibes-wise, especially like between the characters and not like the greater, grander story, the character relationship is very like Ori-ish. And the story itself is like, if you're into sci-fi, it's pretty fucking epic. Like it's pretty wild. I dug it. I really, really dug it. Like it's excellent. I had put it off because I was playing Tears of the Kingdom. And now that I finally got that done, I was like, well, you know, I've got some time here before Pikmin comes out. This is before I realized Oxenfree was also dropping. I was like, I can work on some games. And this was one that I've been waiting on all year long. I've been waiting on this one since last year. I played the demo. And I'm so happy that I got into it and got to play it. So I loved it. I liked it more than Inside. I don't know if everybody else would agree with me, but I liked it more than Inside for sure.
That's big.
Yeah. Yep. That's the point I'm trying to get across. I like it. I like it bigly. It's big.
Then I will definitely put that more on my radar. I've heard people talk about it and say that they like it and recommend it to me, but I didn't really know what kind of game it was, but if it's something that would hit me in the feels. I just, you know me on platform.
You get this little,
I'm not a big
You get this little cat platformer. Companion. It's not like a cat, though. But it's not a cat. It's like a creature or an alien, but it's like a cat. It's got like a little pointy ears, like kind of fat in the tail.
Oh, I see it.
And the cat's name is Mui. I'm just going to call it a cat. It's not a cat, but I'm going to call it a cat. And you and Mui solve puzzles together. So like Mui, you know, there's a lot of like block puzzles or like platforming puzzles and things like that. They're not hard. I'll tell you, there was one that I looked up on YouTube. I was like, I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to be doing here. And I love a good, I think a game is really good when that happens and you realize what you're doing wrong, you're like, oh God, that's stupid. You know, like that's when I feel like the game design is really good. It was definitely me overthinking the area. I was way too involved than I needed to be. So yeah, I enjoyed the puzzles. I could see some people maybe thinking they're frustrating or like the, try not to spoil much. Like the stealth, say that the stealth, I could find some people finding that a little frustrating.
Yeah. I usually don't mind stealth as long as it's not like ridiculously hard.
It's not, it's definitely not ridiculous hard. You just have to have you, and in some of the more elaborate puzzles, you have to have patience. You know, mm-hmm. you have to wait for your windows and stuff like that, you know? But the story is worth it. The journey of these two together is worth it. The ending is worth it. It's worth keep going. I like it a lot. I want to say I love it. I like it. Like, it's canvas worthy. Like if I could buy stuff for Planet of Alana and put it on shelves, I would.
Aw.
Yeah. I dig it.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, cool.
But definitely. Let me look at my game of the year last year. Definitely my indie game of the year so far, by far. My, the highest, wow. My favorite game so far this year, indie wise, was Dredge, and this is significantly above that.
So. I think you like Dredge, right?
I like Dredge a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Cool. Yeah, that speaks a lot to me.
It's my kind of game. I play a lot of games like that, like all the games I mentioned, Ori and Journey, and like these are all games that I love, all games that I beat. You know, these are some of my favorite games. So it might just be that this is kind of in my wheelhouse. So there's the reason I was excited about it when I first, and I should have said this. How often is it that I'm so into a game that I don't mention how utterly gorgeous it is? It's beautiful.
It does look very pretty. I love games that look like paintings. It does look like
it's beautiful. And beautiful. And it's not like if you're looking at the Steam page and you're seeing like the trees and stuff, just know that the biomes and the environments and stuff that you do change a lot. You're going to go through it all kinds of different locales. Looks like an oil painting. Yeah. Yeah. Gree, cool. You know.
I was going to say it does remind me of Gree.
There's so many games like this that I really enjoy. So this is just like squarely in my wheelhouse. This is the type of game that I really do. Yeah. And cool. And I did. I liked it a lot.
Cool. Awesome. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, let's get into the wide array of news that we have this week. This is going to take us forever to get through, so buckle up. We have one headline. Sorry, we have two headlines.
Yeah.
Wave 5 of the Mario Kart 8 DLC is coming this week. It's coming on Wednesday, July 12th, with Daisy Cruiser from Double Dash, Moon View Highway from Wii, Athens Dash from Tour, Squeaky Clean Sprint, which is brand new. It's like a bathroom. It looks really cool. Sunset Wilds from Super Circuit, Koopa Cape from the Wii, Los Angeles Laps from Tour, and Vancouver Velocity from Tour. Will you be hopping back in, Donnie?
Absolutely not.
No. I will be on stream.
I kind of want to play the Squeaky Clean thing just because I might just take a lap around that, but no, probably not. I'm not playing Mario Kart 8 because they don't have enough course. You know, like that's like the funny thing with this DLC. They're like, they just need more courses. It's like, no, that's not why I'm not playing. The stuff looks good though. Or at least some of it does. It does look, I would say half of it just looks like it was already there. I did watch the trailer, and as I was watching, and I was like, the thought that happened in my head through half of these courses, I was like, if you had just shown me a picture of this and been like, did you play this in Mario Kart 8? I would have been like, yep.
I think because of all the tours ones being based on real life locations, some of those might be blended together in your head.
Yeah, I think so. But the Squeaky Clean looks kind of cool. The Athens one I thought looked, you know, notable.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I really like those tour ones based on real life locations, because when you're driving through, you can see real landmarks.
Yeah, it's a neat idea.
It is very neat. Yeah, I will be jumping back in. It's a reason for me to get back into the game and play it again. I really only jump back in and play it when these new DLC drops. There's only one left after this.
Well,
do you? Yeah,
I jumped
think
in
that...
the last one. I was excited and I played a cup and I never played it again.
Yeah. Do you think that on the next console, they will package up this game with the DLC and sell it for $70 and have it be like Mario Kart Ultimate?
I really hope not.
But I think they will.
Probably. Yeah, they probably will. I mean, I just want a new Mario Kart. I don't know what that means, but just something else. Anything else. Actually, the more different, the better. How people felt about new Mario Bros, I feel about Mario Kart 8. You know, it's like, do anything else. I don't care if it's Double Dash. I don't care if it's Battle Mode. I don't care if you do Cruising USA or rip off Sega All-Stars Racing. Just do something else.
But, We've been playing this game for a long time.
Yeah, like a decade. And it's an amazing game. It's a great game. It was at, Briscoe says, for someone, I don't care who, please explain to me how Mario Kart is still selling so well. It's just because it's good. It's great. It's a great Mario Kart game.
I think this is the game on Switch, first party game on Switch, that you get the most content for your buck.
Yeah. I also think it's the most, I mean, the reason that Mario Kart has been like Nintendo's bestseller for a long time, it's the most accessible, the most applicable Mario game. Not everybody can play a Mario game. Like a 3D Mario, that's not super easy for kids to grasp onto as their first game, or like significant others or family and friends. Like people that don't play video games can't just wrap their head around how to play 3D Mario. Same thing for 2D Mario. A lot of times younger kids or inexperienced gamers, you know, they have a hard time like really progressing with 2D games. Everybody can play Mario Kart. Literally everybody. You can turn on assist mode.
I was going to say, especially with assist.
You could give Mario Kart to like a 4-year-old and they can play, you know, like that's a big reason that Mario, like it literally sells with every house. Like every Switch just gets a copy of Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Our other big title of the week, the Super Mario Bros. Movie is now streaming exclusively on Peacock in August. The heck is Peacock?
That's NBC's. I have Peacock. It's NBC's streaming sub. They have like.
Why is it exclusively on Peacock?
I would imagine either they bought the deal or they helped publish the movie. A lot of movies come to Peacock first that have, I guess, some sort of tie-in with NBC, I think. I'm not into like the streaming wars, but like I know that like I think Evil Dead Rise is on Peacock. I think Smile is on Peacock.
Apparently XBS Universal
is saying Universal. Peacock, maybe I have that wrong. I have Peacock because all the WWE pay-per-views are on Peacock. So you can watch WrestleMania for Peacock and all that jazz. So, yeah.
I wasn't going to rewatch it anyway.
I still haven't
watched it. Wait, you still haven't seen it? Oh my gosh. Yeah. And you have Peacock. Oh my gosh. You have to watch it in August.
I probably will. I'm not like... If you can tell by my voice, I'm not like excited to do so, but I imagine that we will sit down and watch it with Jack. And
you should.
That doesn't mean I'll finish it. If I'm not really digging it, I'll probably do something else. But we'll probably.
I think you'll dig it. I think you will. I think you're going to come away saying, "Yeah, this is a pretty good movie."
Okay. Yeah.
Donnie, are you going to see the Barbie movie on July 21st?
Absolutely not.
What?
Why would I go to see a Barbie movie?
Because it's going to be the movie of the summer.
It definitely isn't.
It definitely is, and everybody will tell you otherwise. Everybody is going to correct you right now.
No, not even a little bit. I'm excited to see Oppenheimer. Are you going to go see Oppenheimer?
No.
I'm excited to see Dune 2. Are you going to go see Dune 2?
I don't even know what that is.
See? Dune 2 should be significantly better than Barbie.
But it's Margot Robbie.
She's amazing. She's incredible. And this role seems fit for her. The woman has looked like a real life Barbie since like the world laid eyes on her however many years ago. So,
and Greta Gerwig is directing it. We need more women directors because it looks so good and I can't wait. And I already have my outfit picked out and I think I'm going twice. I think I'm going once with my mom and I think I'm going once with friends.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you were this into Barbie.
I'm not. In fact, Donnie, I didn't even play with Barbies when I was growing up. I was like,
this makes a lot of sense based on like
burn their heads.
The games that you have to play, you know, little girl games and the Barbie. The girl controllers and stuff, you know.
I didn't play with Barbies growing up. I didn't.
It looks good.
I don't even like anything about Barbies, but the movie, it just looks so funny.
It does. It does. It does look good. Yeah, I'm not hating on it. It looks good. I would never see a movie like this in theater. Like, this isn't what I go to theaters for.
Okay.
When I go to a theater, I'm looking for, I would say like a grander production, although this movie looks pretty grand. It's just not my sort of thing.
Grander production.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Let's hit these week's questions then. I'm so offended.
I think I failed at trying to tie it into girl games. I wanted to make it like a girl game.
I know. You were being funny. Yeah.
I tried.
Yeah. It's okay.
Let's get some questions out of the way here. First question comes from Jules. Say Zelda Dungeon Maker becomes real. Already is real. Which styles would you like and use the most?
Okay, so I've thought about this a lot. I think that it should have the Zelda 1 style. It should have a Link to the Past style. It should have the Minish Cap style, the Link's Awakening / Oracle style, and it should have the Link Between Worlds style. Those are the styles that it should have right off the bat. Maybe they add the new Link's Awakening style for the Switch as DLC. I don't know. Go for it. And I would use the Link to the Past style the most.
That's like, in my head, I want to say like, that's all the styles. I'm sure there's not.
No, it's not.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I'm sure it's not, but that's a lot. You realize that's way more than we'll ever get.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Honestly, a Link to the Past is the only style that I'm probably interested in. So I would do a Link to the Past. I would do a Link Between Worlds.
You wouldn't do Zelda 1?
I wouldn't. Like, I don't want that at all.
Blasphemous.
Not even a little bit. I'm like, oh, I'm good.
Well, you don't want it, but don't you think they would include it?
Probably. Yeah.
So let's do two.
It's probably like the easiest to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, they'd probably do it and it's like an homage. So yeah.
And that would be the easiest for teaching people how it works.
Would it?
Like in a tutorial level. Yes. Because there's like the fewest moving parts.
Sure. That's a good point.
Yeah. It's like the virtual Mario Bros. And Mario Maker.
Yeah. And I was thinking about Mario Maker. Yeah, you're probably. So you do that. I would do Link Between Worlds as like a kind of like a palette swap to Link to the Past. It'd be cool if you could flip them like in level in dungeon. That'd be neat.
Yeah.
And then I would do something like zany, just throw in there, which would probably be Minish Cap. Call it a day.
Well, that's the one. All the ones I said, but I included the Link's Awakening Oracles.
Yeah.
That's like one style for like the Game Boy style.
It'd be cool if they threw in like a new style and like a like its own thing instead of it all being just from the past. It'd be kind of cool. If they,
that would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be neat too.
That'd be very cool.
Jay writes, in Metal Gear Collection, which still isn't on Best Buy, by the way. I keep checking on Best Buy like daily for the Metal Gear Collection to hit Switch because I want to buy in on that Best Buy deal. Have you seen the Best Buy deal that they're doing? You buy two, get one on Switch games.
Ooh.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Jay's question. In Metal Gear, what games will Psycho Mantis ask if you've been playing? And how will we plug our controllers into port 2? You're aware of Psycho Mantis, Rebecca?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, Psycho Mantis is a villain in Metal Gear. And in the PlayStation version, he would read your memory card. He'd read your mind and tell you what games you've been playing by analyzing the games on your memory card.
I love stuff like that. That is like my favorite kind of thing.
stop him from being able to read your mind by changing your controller to player two.
That's cool.
Unplug it and plug it back in.
That's really cool.
And it became, I haven't replayed this part on PC, but I've, when I originally started playing it on PC, people are like, yeah, this part doesn't work. But I think they patch it to where it does. I think you have to like use your keyboard. You have to use your keyboard. You have to stop using your controller and use your keyboard for a moment.
That's cool.
Yeah. I don't know how they do that with Switch. I mean, I think it could be as simple as like they make you, I don't know, like Switch controllers to like a Joy-Con or something. I imagine for these ports.
What if you didn't have another controller?
I think it for this collection, I think they'll find a way to like just skip it.
Yeah.
To have like an on-screen prompt or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what they did for it on the Metal Gear collection because I never played them on the Metal Gear collection that far in. I don't even know how they work on the old collections. It's been a while since I've replayed these games. So, but I'm excited. I want that Best Buy thing. Kyle the Pug, KTP says, if Bob Ross was still alive today, what Nintendo world would he paint on his canvas?
Definitely Breath of the Wild's Hyrule.
Yeah, that's true. Is there any other better? No. Skyward Sword? But, yeah, one of those. Spagoop, what are some things you would like to see return with Nintendo's next console?
Hybrid model. That needs to return. I would like to see Street Pass return.
Yeah. Street Pass, all the OS things that everybody said for years would be nice. I'm trying to think, is there anything like deeper? Like Virtual Console is never going to return. They're doing Switch Online. Anything that we miss from like old controllers?
I don't know, but I hope they continue using a touchscreen, and I would like a stylus. I miss having a stylus.
Wow. Okay. I do enjoy it. I wish they used the touchscreen more.
Me too. There's a lot of games
weird that feel like they should have it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of mobile-friendly looking UI and options that you just can't interact with.
That was one thing in Advance Wars that I was very upset about because that's the kind of game that I felt like you should like touch it and like drag it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do that. And that I felt like it was perfect to have in handheld, take a stylus. And like, I'm imagining that's what it was like with the DS games, the DS Advance Wars games. You probably just drag it around. And I was upset that I couldn't do that.
I definitely know that this makes me like in the smallest of groups. To me, Pikmin is like a tap and touch like screen game. I played Pikmin.
No, I think a lot of people agree.
On Wii U. And like, to me, that's the best way to play Pikmin. And I can play it with controls and it's fine. But every time I play it, I remember like, oh man, but on Wii U, you could do this. Just like on the Zelda Wii U's, I love playing Zelda games with dual screens. Like that's actually one thing that I think I'll miss for like the rest of my life. It's just being able to manage your inventory and select things while you're playing. It'd be nice if they use the touchscreen. So yeah, I'll say that for my answer. I can't see with the first of two questions. First, do you think Mario Wonder will have character collisions?
I don't even know what that is.
I guess where the characters run into each other and can actually like bounce off of each other and stuff.
Oh.
I'm not sure if that's what he means, but that's what
I think it is.
That's what I was taking from it. And I didn't pay that much attention to if they had it or not, to be honest with you.
Do people like that?
It's a good question. I don't know. I can honestly tell you that this has never been like something I've ever like cared to know about. You know, like this is not something I've ever noticed, I guess. You know, it's like whatever. Whatever they've done before, I'm fine with. So if they've had it or not had it, whatever they do, I'm good with. Second question from I Can't See. In the early 2010s, we were doing couch co-op in person because of the Wii, the Move, and the Kinect. What happened for the gaming community to go from playing together to squabbling over graphics and performance? Hot take, in my honest opinion, the gaming community, or a lot of people, have become so out of touch with what gaming is supposed to be about.
I think it's the loud minority who is out of touch and squabbles over things like that. I think the vast majority of people are just having a good time. But I think it's also just like kind of society in general moving away from like the playing together kind of thing. Like, I feel like everybody is so, you know, connected now, like on their phones, and like don't need to, like, I guess, you know, you don't, because like you don't need to go over to somebody's house to play stuff. Like, there's the internet and stuff. Like, that's just like kind of the way that like it's moved towards. I don't know. Like, you can play together without being physically together. And in a lot of cases, like, it's better because you don't need to be sharing, like, you don't need to have half a screen to play kind of thing. Sure.
Online multiplayer.
I mean, I do miss that. I wish there was more of that today, but I don't know.
Want to switch?
I don't want that.
Before I answer, back to the Mario Wonder question, Spagoop says, the trailer implied that they didn't have character collision, and no, people didn't like that. So.
Must be fun to, like, screw each other up and, like,
that is fun. Oh, we have a video of me throwing Jack off a cliff when he was like 4. Like, it was his first time playing, and he was like, "Dad, this is so cool." No! And it was 3D World, and I just lifted him up and just chucked him off the side. And he's like, "No, did you get
so mad?" That is funny. And I think that's why people like it.
Okay. Yeah, that's good stuff. I'm gonna push back on a second question. People have been squabbling over graphics and performance since the arcades. Like, this is just what video games do. It just goes hand in hand with technology. It's not gamers. It's not just gamers. It's just technology. Everything is iterative. Everything is bigger, better, faster than it ever was before. Right. We had, was it blast processing? Right. And 3D graphics, and, you know, this is just a thing that everybody has always done. Now, if the Wii and the Move and the Kinect was a distracting for you from that, and you didn't find that was going out, like, that's wonderful. It definitely was, though. Like, 100%. People hated that the Wii was in standard definition for years. They made component cables to try and make the Wii a little bit better. This was a thing. People used to do, like, there were like Wii HD sticks that people were trying to sell because, like, the Wii didn't have an HDMI cord. It didn't work with like flat screen TVs. Yeah. So I don't think this is it. I don't think people have lost touch with what gaming is supposed to be about. I think what it is I think a lot of people take different things from gaming. And sometimes those different groups of people clash or rub up against each other. I think that's all that is.
That's Kate, fair. Yeah.
Kate says, which console maker has the best names overall for their systems?
Sony.
You think so?
By far. They're the only ones that do it the right way.
My answer is completely different. It's not confusing.
Oh my God.
Sega. Absolutely Sega. The Genesis, the Saturn, the Dreamcast, the best. The best names.
Okay. I mean, yeah, they sound cool, but also their consoles sound. No. They sound cool, but also they have different names in different regions. Like, you can't talk about the Dreamcast. Like, it's like, is it the Mega Drive? I don't know. Like,
the Sega Master System. Even Mega Drive sounds cool.
It does sound cool, but no, don't.
Name wise, I mean, Sony. I like your uniformity, your simplicity with going with Sony.
There's no confusion.
It's just boring. Who's confused? I've never been confused.
Yeah, because you keep up with all of this, like, more than the average person.
Right. So, yeah, I've never been confused.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the Sega stuff. I think their names are cool. And I wish more people did, like, names versus numbers, personally. You know, like, I think it's interesting that Xbox, you know, has gone, their history that they've gone with has not particularly been well.
Xbox and Nintendo have the worst ones.
Yeah, like, they could have saved themselves a lot of problems if they'd just gone with names. And I think with Nintendo, like, names work better than numbers. The GameCube.
Yeah, but they pick stupid names. The Wii. Ew, that's stupid.
Is it, though?
Yes! It's so stupid. The Wii, it sounds like you have to pee.
Okay, fair, fair. You're not wrong. But they really sold it, though. Like, it really took off. So it came that terrible of a name.
Stupid.
That's an interesting. That's
Nintendo
an interesting
64.
Point. The 64, yeah.
Is it the 64th console?
Yeah,
I know it's why it's called the 64, but like.
Sure. I like them doing names. The Switch. I hope the Switch 2 isn't the Switch 2. Like, I like them doing names versus numbers. Numbers,
but the numbers
boring.
Is only good if you start from the beginning and do it.
What are we going to do, though? Are we literally going to have, like, the PlayStation 33 one day?
No, humanity is going to die out before then.
That's fair. Very good point. So how many PlayStation numbers do we get to before it all croaks?
Six.
Is it closer than we want it to be? But yeah, at some point it does feel a bit dumb. You know, it's like the PlayStation 11. You're like, what are you guys doing?
But you know exactly what it is.
True. True. You do. I think it works a lot better in single digits than, and I think Sony will reboot before they ever get there. There's no way in hell they're going to call them out with a PlayStation 13. Like, that's never going to happen. They'll reboot at some point. They'll call it something else by then. Yeah, but I stand firm. Man, how awesome does Sega Saturn sound like? It was a terrible console, but the name sounded amazing. You know, the Sega Saturn. I was so into the Sega Dreamcast. Dreamcast? Are you kidding me? The Sega Dreamcast? What an amazing name. What if the next Switch was the Nintendo Dreamcast? Just incredible.
Okay, then I like Ataris as well. They named them after big cats. Lynx, Jaguar.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's pretty good. You could just rip off like an entire animal genre.
Apparently there was a canceled console from them called the Panther.
The Panther. Yeah, the closer your name gets to like a wrestler's name, the better. The better your console is. I also had a Saturn XPS. It wasn't my first system. It was my second system. And I also loved it. I had no idea at the time that it was terrible. I think I got it after it crashed. But when I got mine, I definitely enjoyed it quite a bit. But history does not remember it fondly. Fun question, though. I like this question. Mm-hmm. I want a Dreamcast Mini so bad. Drew writes in, do you think the next Switch will have more third-party support than the current Switch?
I mean, the current Switch has a great deal of third-party support.
Compared to the Wii U, for sure. I think the Switch's third-party support's probably on par with, like, the Wii, but not, like, GameCube. GameCube is, like, the best third-party support for the Super Nintendo, maybe.
I think it'll have just as much.
I would agree with you. I think it'll be mostly the same. I don't think you'll have a whole lot of, if you're thinking like the latest and greatest day one games are coming out on Switch, I don't think that's going to happen even on the next Switch, because I think the next Switch will, I mean, if the Activision case is to be believed, the next Switch is going to be on par with like last generation hardware. And we are already seeing developers dumping last generation games from their new releases already. So that doesn't like bode well for the Switch. What I think will happen is when it makes sense, when the money is there, I think games will show up. So I think you'll see Diablo, you know, eventually make its way to Switch 2. Maybe we'll see a Call of Duty or I would like to see Madden return. But, you know, I think it'll be more the bigger publishers that can really make some money off of Switch. Now, it will be interesting. I don't think anybody is expecting this at all, but it will be interesting to see if it's dependent on Switch selling quickly or not. Like, do the ports show up like at launch, or do they come like a year or two later after the Switch's successors had a chance to like sell? Right. I guess the question I'm asking is like with the Wii U, a couple developers were there, but once it struggled out of the gate, there was nothing coming. Like, does Nintendo need to sell Switch 2 for ports to come?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Because I think they, with the Switch, they have established we're here. This is what we offer. Yeah.
I would agree. Yeah. And then our last question for this week comes in from Smokin' Joe. And he says, in your opinion, who was the most important fighter added to Smash Brothers Ultimate?
I have an answer for that. I think the answer is very clear. Without a doubt, it's Sora. Because Sora, to me, and I have spoken about this many times on the show in the past when this was a more relevant topic, how that was like, at that point, the hardest get for them. I think that, you know, you and I had talked many times about how anybody would want their character in Smash. That is like the most prestigious invitation in gaming.
It's like a Hall of Fame of video games.
It really is. And to me, I feel like Sora, because he was hard to get because of the Disney stuff, and also just kind of who Sora represents, because Kingdom Hearts in its own is, you know, kind of a collaboration of franchises as well. He definitely fits in the game, and I think that he is just so important for what the whole thing represents. And I feel like it's just a symbolic final fighter for the game to be added.
Yeah, I don't really have much of a disagreement. I think you're probably right. The only thing that I would just mention, just, and this is merely as an alternative, I think due to popularity, having Minecraft Steve, I think maybe just
that's a big one,
has a reach and an appeal that probably none of the other characters do.
That is like, a big one.
Persona being represented in Smash means a great deal to Persona people. But there's not a whole lot of people that knew who Joker was when he showed up. And the same thing can be said about like Terry, probably Sephiroth, Kazuya. Piranha Plant is probably the worst. Banjo, I think, made a lot of people happy. Like, and there is like a console wars from a different time, you know, like Rare, Xbox, like that whole thing, just it being there gives so much hope and so much happiness to so many.
Of course it did. That doesn't answer the question, though.
Right. But Steve, I think, probably, like,
that's a big one.
Jolted, you know, Smash into the eyes and ears of people that never would have thought and don't know who any of these other people are.
Broke Twitter when it was announced. It, like, Twitter literally went down for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
If Sora was not in contention,
and before
there,
Twitter used to just break
Steve
all the time. Like, that was rare then. We know Twitter breaks all the time now for different reasons.
Yeah, I can't think of a better answer than Sora and Steve.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have a whole list up here. Yep. That's our last question. Yeah. Anything else, Donnie?
No. I gotta go work on this thing and get it back up and running, so I can put more games on it and get ready for Oxenfree.
Ooh, yeah. So we'll play that this week. We'll convince. Did you say it was Devin or Delvin?
Delvin. Dev's never played Oxenfree. Okay.
I didn't know Delvin was into cool games like that. Cool. We're going to invite him next week.
Cool.
Cool. We'll do that. And then I'll keep playing Mother 3 and Final Fantasy 6 on stream and probably still not beat Tears of the Kingdom. That's okay. That's okay. I love
it. The never ending game where you're so like, a that's year exactly and a half what I want. Like, I'm still not ready. I'm not ready.
It won't be that long. No. It won't be that long. All right. That's it, Koopalings. Have a great Sunday and rest of your week.
Whenever you're ready.
All right. This is Frederick from Fire Emblem Awakening. And I forgot the line already. What?